like to say good evening and glad to have you come back, be a part of our second worship for today. Hope you've enjoyed the fellowship meal and the great fellowship with the brethren. It's a time we enjoy and now are able to worship God once again before it's time to go home. I am certainly glad, if you're visiting, to have you with us here at New News Church Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. This is where our study was this morning. And we're just going to continue some thoughts out of the book of Romans chapter 8 as we consider the theme today, more than conquerors. That Christians are more than conquerors. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote as he was talking about the glory that we are to enjoy, the victories that we're to enjoy, and the life that's in the Spirit in Christ, knowing that we are free from sin and bondage. The Apostle Paul said, verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." We looked at some points this morning that Paul wanted to assure us as being conquerors. And we considered the reasonings that he had gave. And there was the side scripture I used out of the book of Corinthians that would assure us that when it involves God, there's going to be triumph. And Paul to the church at the Corinthians says, "Now thanks be unto God, which causes us always to triumph in Christ." And if you're in Christ, and most of us probably are, and if you're visiting, we hope and pray, and you're not a member of the Lord's church, that you will change that. That if after hearing the gospel preached, it may cause you to search out God's word to see if these things are so. And if you find them to be so, then you need to move. The Lord wants you to come to him. And the Lord wants you to obey the gospel. That's our purpose, is to preach the gospel. Causes us always to triumph. When you are a Christian, you are a conqueror. But you're not just a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. We had mentioned earlier some of the great conquerors that men know in the ages of time that were conquerors. But those conquerings that they did only lasted for a period of time. And some of them didn't even come to fruition. They didn't have all the resources they needed in order to conquer. But this is a different type of conquering. This is spiritual. And yes, there is a battle going on in the spiritual realm as well. Well, why else would God give us the counsel in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that we need to put on the whole armor of God? And if you are going to be a conqueror, you need to be prepared as you go out on the battlefield. Now, we congregate and we come together to get prepared, as well as when you're at home and you're studying God's word to get yourself prepared. You know, I like to think of, now this ain't a part of my lesson, but here we go. I'd like to think of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where when we was in the preacher's class training here, back around, late 80s, early 90s, we had to memorize this verse. But turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and just look at these verses for just a minute. Chapter 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You see, we're in a different type of combat. We're not in a physical combat like the U.S. Army or the Marines and all who go out on the battlefield. And some of you are aware of this who are in the military services and you put your life on the line. But we're in a combat against the devil here. And so we're going to be met with those who are of the opposition. And this is a spiritual battle, because now we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And we should not be ignorant of his wiles as well. And they are coming. And when you think about this, he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So that means we don't use those things that you would normally use in a physical battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so, yes, we have a different weapon. It's called the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. That's what we have. And thus far, when you teach and you reprove maybe someone who may be incorrect in their thinking and you use God's word, it'll bring it into captivity as they are confronted with the words of life. And that's why you need to sanctify your Lord God in your heart. You need to sanctify God in your heart and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks of you of the reason that is in you with meekness and fear. The reason, see, I left something out on purpose. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks of you of the hope. There it is, you got it. There's something that they see as you are a conqueror. They see your life is in order. They see that in the midst of the storm, you don't come unsettled. They see that there's peace residing in your life because there's someone you know. And that's what's important. You know him who have called you. That's right. You know who God is. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And so, yes, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we talked about some of these reasonings that God is for us, that God justifies us. You see, Paul is giving you reason after reason why you can be a conqueror. Paul tells us that even when we fall and we mess up and we sin, there's one that intercedes on your behalf. And when you bring your faults before the throne, the Holy Spirit intercedes and the Holy Spirit delivers that to Christ. And then Christ brings that before the throne. And he's your defender. He's your advocate. And thus far, you didn't have to go through the yellow pages to search for a good lawyer. You know, every lawyer ain't good. All them niggas are A's and B's. Don't get you a lawyer that got D's. That could hurt you in the end. You want, yeah, you do. I know some of you. You get your lawyer, you want to know his credentials, his background. You want to know how many cases he won, especially if it's very serious. And you don't believe it? You just go out here to the rich people. They get the best lawyer. They don't mess around. They don't get that lawyer that went to night school and only took a few courses. No, they get the lawyer that went 8 years, graduated top in his class at Harvard, and is very good in his argumentation. That's all. That's what that's about, psychology. That's what that is. And thus far, they have it down to a science. And your best ones make big bucks. You cannot come to them with little McDonald's change. You got to go get a loan to get that lawyer to help you out. And so therefore, he's our advocate. And thank God he is more than willing to take your case. That's what I'm talking about. You want to know something else? He's never lost. No, this advocate here, whenever he puts your case before God, it's going to be successful. You're going to win. That's why we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, no one else can say that.
Anyone outside of the body of Christ cannot say that. If you're outside of Christ, you're living without hope. You have already been conquered at the moment. That's right. The devil at the moment is having his way with you until you release yourself from. You know something?
Let's think about just for a minute while I'm thinking about that. This is not part of the lesson either. In 2 Timothy, I'm going to give y'all another one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24. You might have heard me speak this in class to the brethren from time to time when we're sitting in class. And as we approach men and women and try to teach them, but there is a certain manner that we should have as conquerors, as we're trying to win souls to Christ. Because remember now, Jesus said he wanted us to be what? Fishers of men. And so as we go out and we try to rescue men from the clutches and the snares of the devil, as being a conqueror, we have prepared ourselves and we have learned how God would want us to answer every man. So when we get to verse 24 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. It's not about being in an argumentative battle. It's not what we're about, brethren. No, we're trying to rescue these people. And so we need to come to them in a different manner. But watch this, be gentle. Now, it took me a while to learn that. I'm not trying to go out to see how many I can capture. I mean, I've heard some brethren say, yeah, I took them down. I said, brother, that's the wrong language. What are you talking about? You took them down. I don't even read that in the Bible. Where did that come from? You know where that comes from? Carnality. That's what that is. That's a gross misunderstanding what the purpose of Christ is. All matter of fact, if I remember correctly, the Lord says, now learn of me. What is it the Lord wants you to know? That I am lowly and meek in heart. That's what you need to learn, my brother. You're not out there to take anyone down. We're in the business of recovering people. That's right. Who have been damaged by the inflictions of this world and its enticements and allurements. We're to help people to become untangled and thus find the grace that God has for them. So the Bible says he must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. So now in order for me to be able to teach, I need to know something. Can't teach something I don't know. And thus be patient. When you go to teach someone, it's going to take time. This is not something we can rush through. It's going to take time. And that involves the learning capability or the ability of the student you're trying to teach. And not all are on the same level. You may be able to teach this person in a couple of hours. Or it may take 4 or 5 hours. I ain't trying to scare none of you. Might take 6. Might take a couple of days. May take a couple of months. Depends on what they know and how much they know and how far back you got to go. But all that said, it's going to require patience. In meekness, instructing those, watch this, that oppose themselves. You know why they're opposed? Because they're conquered. They are conquered and they don't know that they're conquered. Peradventure, if God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, then here's the verse I'm trying to get to, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. That's why we're more than conquerors. Because we're in the business of doing something most people are not even thinking about doing. And isn't that beautiful? See, this is what completes Christ. You remember the Lord told his disciples that there are greater works than these? That's right. We're part of that greater work. You see, the reason why this work is greater? Because he hadn't died yet. And then when he died, now we're preaching his death, burial, and resurrection. And that is the fullness of him. This is how we complete Christ. We're the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's what makes us conquerors. Not only have you overcome self,
But now you're getting out of yourself to conquer those who are taken captive by the devil so that they can be free, so that they can be released. And you preach that saving grace, giving them the opportunity to obey so that they can enjoy the successes of the triumphant in Christ. And that's what we're all about, brother. That's what we're all about. And so we're more than conquerors. Now, when we talk about these reasons why we're more than conquerors, now let's talk about what it means to actually to live that life, to walk it. First of all, our position has changed. You see, a conqueror normally has a strategy. And sometimes he may use a map or a chart to charter out the territory that he is going to conquer. We, on the other hand, the Lord says, now look up at the harvest. The harvest is ready. Look out at the fields. Plenteous. But see, you got to be in a certain position to do that. You see, there's no sense in looking out in the fields if you're not even on the team. And so the Lord calls us into his kingdom, the church. See, our position has changed. See, one time we were outside the church. Now we're in the church. And now our position now allows us to partake of a different endeavor now. And so therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I like what Paul said when he was talking to the church at Ephesus. He says that at one time, you were not a part of the commonwealth of Israel, having no hope. But now you've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so now your relationship has changed. So your position has changed in your relationship to God. Instead of being an enemy now, now we're a friend of God. And now God can use us. See, the Lord can use us in his vineyard now. And so, therefore, our position changes. Now, unfortunately, multitudes have different aspirations of conquering some type of feat in this life. And in themselves, there's not really anything wrong with them. But the most important thing is to seek out the kingdom of God. We understand that. But we need to let people who are outside know that, that you need to find the church. Do you know how sad that is to go through this life and don't find it? Oh, that's sad. Especially when the Lord adds the saved to it. And we who have been taught, we understand how important the church is. You see, so a lot of people take light of the church. It's not that important. Oh, it's very important in the scheme of redemption. Yes, sir. You cannot separate Christ from the church. See, that's what I mean. Your position change, and that's why you're a conqueror. Your position change. Jesus said on one occasion, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. You know, and I like what Paul said in this book here in the book of Romans chapter 6. When you look at verse 16, Paul was talking about being slaves to righteousness. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, verse 16, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience to righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And so our position has changed. And I really like what's spoken of here in the book of Colossians. Yeah, Montreal, I gave you a break this evening. That's all right. I'm going to handle it tonight. I put him to service every once in a while. But that's all right. When he preached, I'll do it for him. That's right. That's okay. That's good. But in Colossians chapter 1, we read verse 12. Now, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, let me show you. Your position has changed. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness. You see, at first you were conquered. See, when you was living that life out there, you know that life you were living. But
before you came to obey the gospel. Notice he said, the power of darkness. You see, this is the devil's domain. That's his realm. The power of darkness, the working of disobedience. He said, you were delivered from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So yes, our position has changed. Not only has our position changed, but our perspective has changed as being more than conquerors. It's how we look at things. That should have changed. You see, we don't look at things the same way that we used to. Now that we've been enlightened, and now we are embracing the knowledge of God, and God is revealing to us the reality of things. You know, Solomon, you know, it would do good to sit down and read the book of Solomon every once in a while, Ecclesiastes. Solomon probably did things that most of us could only dream of. He did everything. Solomon said he didn't keep nothing back. Nothing. And then when Solomon went out and tested everything that a man could do in this life, he came to this conclusion. All is vanity. And vexation. All of it is vanity. And what do you mean, Solomon? He said, no matter what I did, I could eventually fill that hole that's in the heart where only God can fill. And so Solomon said, I did what I wanted, because he was rich. Just like old rich man now. You know, the Lord was right when he says, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses. And so therefore, until he comes to know who Christ, and we've seen the great movie stars and those celebrities, and they commit suicide because there was still an emptiness there. And Jesus told the woman at the well, in here you will thirst again, but the well I have to give you is a well that springs up forth unto everlasting life. God is like a rich, overflowing fountain, and he can supply and supply and supply. Yes, sir. And so therefore, some people just love to go into that well that's empty. It's like a broken cistern. You keep pouring your water, your work, your efforts into it, and yet it's still empty. Your life is still empty. And that's why the Lord says, come unto me. And when you come unto the Lord, he'll change your position. And thus far, now he'll change your perspective, how you look on life. And that's important, brethren. You see, because when Christ is in your life, you don't kill yourself. You have hope. You have hope, brother. Blessed be the God, our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us again by a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul could have killed himself as much as he went through. He could have just done away with it, but he didn't. Oh, no. Paul suffered much for the cause of Christ, but he didn't kill himself. You know what's wrong today? I heard a preacher not too long ago say, well, I know suicide. But you know, I just have to believe because of God's mercy. See, you don't understand what the Bible teaches. Well, wait a minute now that's murder. You intended to murder yourself. How do you repent of that? You can't. See, that's the answer. Now, if you got another one, I'll sit down with you and we'll look this over. And that's why Judas fell by transgression. You see, Judas didn't have to do that, but he did, didn't he? That's right. You see, when a person goes to kill, you say, well, Brother Rick, you don't know what's in your mind. Oh, yes, I do know what's in your mind. It ain't Jesus. God ain't there. You see, when we look at those things in that list, persecution, tribulation, famine, nakedness, peril, and I mean, these are extreme. That's right. That's enough to drive some people to lose it. You see, that's a lack of faith. You see, and when God says, I can deliver you, yes, God can. Remember who said that? Paul did. Have you been beat 40 times? Say one. Three times, that took place. If you go back and read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you see all that. And Paul was in different dangers. Some of us have never come close to what Paul went through. Paul
said what he said. Yeah, all godly shall live, shall suffer persecution. All the godly. Paul knew he was going to suffer. Matter of fact, the Lord let him know up front, you're going to suffer for me. See, a lot of people don't understand that. You think when you obey the gospel, it's going to be sweet, rosy. You ain't going to have any problems. Uh-uh. The Lord said, there's going to be some afflictions. There's going to be some reproaches. There's going to be people that don't like you. There's going to be people that speak against you. That's right. And now, your perspective may make all the difference in the world. Will you be like the Lord? And when they revile against you, you don't revile back. You watch your tongue. You don't curse them out because they cursed you out. That's right. You learn how to take it. That's what the Christian does. That's what it means to be more than a conqueror. That's right. Because you're living on a higher plane. The Lord has called you to the glory. That's right. He has called you to his glory. And he expects you to live just in the image of his son. And you remember that he didn't revile back. That's right. And you need to think about that. See, your perspective needs to change. So it changes as we think about this walk. Our perspective changes. You know, when we think about what this involves, you know, when we offer our worship, is our worship acceptable to God? And you say, what are you talking about? Well, we know the truth. But what about that spirit part? That's, you know, we've heard this before from behind this pulpit. You see, your perspective. When you come to worship, don't forget who you're worshiping. Don't let this become mundane. Don't let this become just a ritual where you're just sitting in the pew and you're just going through the emotions and you hope we heard them get this over with because you got something else you need to do. Really? I don't think Paul felt that way. No, sir. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. That's right. And who loved me. There it is. So why do you come? You come to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. That's your perspective now. You see, you're not out reaching for the things of the world. You're seeking the Lord's kingdom and his righteousness first. And so you study and you listen and you hear God's word. You're not Martha. You should be Mary. And that's how you become the conqueror. Because you constantly hear the counsel from God and thus allow God to direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. Why is it that we are constantly leaning on our own understanding? Because we don't trust him. The first tribe, Israel, did not trust the Lord. That's why they didn't go in. That's right. Still waiting up on the shore, right? The perspective hadn't changed. Yes, it's deep out there, but the Lord said, go out there. He says, go. Yes. Come on, Peter, you can come. See, if your perspective's right, you'll keep your eyes on the prize. Press toward the prize of the high calling of Christ. See, keep your eyes on the Lord. And you can do it. No matter what comes up against you, your perspective needs to change. And so therefore, when our positions change, our perspective changes. And then when that changes, your walk needs to change. You don't walk. Ooh, boy. Martra, can I pick with you just for a minute? He said, why are you picking with me? I bet your former life, you look back at that and you say, woo-wee, I done came a long way. I'm not even going to pick on you, don't pick on me. I came a long way. There are probably some people look at me that knew me back then, or the people do on my job, and they just look at me with amazement. They're still looking at me. I know they are. But they knew who I used to be. What I used to be a part of. My feet was not carrying me to the Lord's house.
My feet was carrying me to the devil's den. You know what I'm talking about. A lot of us might have been there. All you live for is the weekend. Time to go to the party, where the drunkards, the fornicators, and the adulterers, and everybody else exists. That's right, whoremongers. Oh, Brother Rick, how dare you say that? Because I know. I know what's out there. Oh, yes, I do. Thank God he saved me, though. And I never look back. And I'm not going back. The Lord says, come ye out from amongst them. The Lord will direct your walk now. Let God take the helm of your life. Stop allowing the devil to get back in there. Stop telling the Lord to stay over there for a moment. It's going to be all right, but I'm going to try this just for a second. Stop tippy-toeing around. Remember that lesson Brother Craig Stevens preached a while back? Stop being on the edge. Come on now. Your walk needs to change. You know why God took Enoch? Because he walked with him. Did you hear it? You know why Noah found God's grace? Because he had walked with him. You see, you know, that walk is an indication of fellowship. Can two walk together unless they agree? See, it's not about God agreeing with you. It's about you in agreement with him. That's what that's all about. Yes, if we walk in the light. See, he's in the light. You need to take time to read 1 John chapter. You know, go back and read that through that again. When it talks about in him is light and there's no darkness. That's talking about his character. There's no flaws in the Lord's character. You see, if you are away from the Lord, it ain't because the Lord has drifted. That is the plumb line. That is the reference. You have drifted. You see, you need to have a reference. You need to have something in your life where you can hold on to. That's right. That's why so many people are being beat upside down their head in this world. And their lives are such a wreck because they have nothing to hold on to. I just can't find myself. Well, you know what? And not until you find the Lord, you won't. That's right. You see, you need to change your walk. Stop going to the ABC store and start going to some Bible studies. Stop going to them old movies, the pornography movies, and get back to the Bible study. Oh, I go on and on and on and on. And your feet carrying you somewhere where you ain't got no business being. And it gets a little uncomfortable. But stop going over to your neighbor's wife. You know the husband ain't there. What are you doing over there? Don't like that, do you? But it's the truth. Oh, yeah, well, as long as nobody see me do, oh, yes, the Lord's watching you. Yes, he does know. You see, and you're deceiving yourself. Because God is not mocked in the matter. Whatsoever a man sow, he gonna reap in the end. Oh, he was a beautiful brother and all that, and he looked good, and yet he suffered. Because he had a hidden life. And as we use that word, he didn't keep it real. You see, your walk is important. And what does the Bible, what does God promise? That if you walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship. The most important relationship you can have is not with your husband, your wife, your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your cousin. That ain't it. It's with him. I think the Lord said he came to bring a sword. There don't be no peace in your house. God said if you put them before me, you can't be my disciple. Yeah, it's still in there. Oh, yeah. Now, God didn't say don't love your mama. I need to be first. There may be a decision you have to make that they may not agree with, but as long as you're in agreement with God, that's all that matters. You see, that's how you become more than a conqueror. You don't allow the influences and the stuff of this world who have not surrendered to God, then don't you do it.
You continue to surrender to God. Yes, you may not be in the masses. You may not be with the crowd. You may stand up like a sore thumb. That's okay. You'd be just like those three Hebrew lads who didn't bow down. They didn't bend. And guess what? They didn't burn. Come on now. Yes. I don't want to stand up. I don't want to be different. Yeah, you be different. You be holy. Don't you run with the crowd from work over to Hooters so you can get your peep on and a few drinks. You say, no, I'm not going. That's right. As Peter said, they think it's strange that you run not with them in excess righteousness. And that means ungodly behavior. Why? Because your walk has changed. You may have went there one time, but now I'm in Christ. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things just became new. God gave me a reprieve, so I'm going to make the best of it. Because I called you to be a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Now we're talking about the very intricacies of your walk. Where do you feed? You know, don't be like Jonah, neither. Can you help me with you? I'm sorry, I can't help you. Can you go? Oh, no, I can't do that. Can you help teach? No, I can't do that. No. What was it? I got to go catch a sale at JCPenney's. I ain't got time. Sears is closing up right now, and I heard they had 50% on the rack. I ain't got time to sit down and study and give myself holy to the doctor. Why? Because I'm interested in worldly matters. That's the problem. Yes, sir. You got to change your walk. I'm not saying anything wrong in that, but when that takes precedence, I can't come because I got to see my team play today. Oh, I can't be here for the second worship because that's important. I want to see if Drew Brees is going to throw 5 touchdowns today. Well, I think you get the point now. Not only should your walk change, but your perseverance needs to change. You know, some people just give up. There are some people just quit everything. I talked to a young man one time. He had a family. And, you know, him and his wife was having problems. And I helped him move a wash machine. And as we had our little discussion in my little truck at the time, it seemed like to me he never kept a job. And, you know, I wanted to look at that man and say, well, when are you going to continue to work? Don't your family need you? He said, yeah, he would rather sit at home and do a crossword puzzle and play video games. Oh, I feel sorry for that wife. You ain't got much. That's right, that ain't much. You see now, perseverance is not in his vocabulary. See, sometimes you gotta stick it out. See, just because you got baptized here 20, 30 years ago, see, it'd be nice if as soon as you get baptized, you died right then, you'd be okay. That don't happen. You get baptized, that race might be a while. 20, 30, 40, 50 years. What does the Lord say? He says, now, be thou faithful unto death. You're going to have to persevere. But what will help us along that is if we realize that the Lord is our helper. The Lord can sustain us. And see, so it's all about a mind. It's about a mindset. When I finally make up my mind that I want to do right, that I want to serve God, I'll be able to sustain. No matter what comes against me, I don't care what it is. I'm afraid to leave the Lord. Are you afraid to leave the Lord? You need to persevere. You know, you need to be like Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast, where else are you going? Who else has the answer? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, the problem is you're listening to those who got ungodly answers. You need to get back to the Lord. Blessed are those who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who standeth in the way of the sinner, who sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate what? Day and night. You know the verse. And he's like a tree planted by the river. Yes. The Lord says, to him that overcome,
in my Father's throne. You know where that's at? That's Revelation 3:21. You already know what verse 20 is. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and him with me. And then the Lord said, and to him. You see, that's conditional. To him that overcome. Who's the one that's going to overcome? The one that perseveres. He doesn't give up. You know, we got a lot of people that gave up. Boy, if everybody that ever obeyed the gospel come right back in this building, we wouldn't even have enough room. They'd be all out that door, out near the road. You gotta persevere. Just be thankful to God you're still hanging in there. That's right. Don't give up. See, I'm your cheerleader tonight. Don't give up. I know I'm not talking to the man. I'm only talking to a few right now. But you know what? You go back. You know what? Man, don't you get, you go back and tell them. You tell someone else. Me and Craig, we're putting a list. We're looking at some of these people that ain't here. Don't give up. You see, your position changed. Your perspective changed. Your walk changed. Your perseverance just changed. And then one more, your possession. What is it you're trying to possess, my brethren? You know, the Lord told his disciples, he says, in your patience possess ye. Luke 12:21. There you go. Did you hear it? Because it's going to require patience in this walk. Yes. And along with that, in the book of Thessalonians, let me look at it just for a second, then I'm going to close. It's time for me to go. In the book of Thessalonians, I didn't mean it like that. You know what I mean. Yeah, I'm going to get ready and go because it's time to move on. In 1 Thessalonians, Chapter 4. I like what the apostle wrote here to the church at Thessalonica, starting at verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from, watch this, fornication. Ooh, a lot of people got that problem. That every one of you should know how to, watch, there's the word I'm looking at, possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You see, your vessel, who you are, your temple, your body, it don't belong to you anymore. Your body belongs to the Lord now. And you should be with your temple bringing honor and glory to him. That's what the Lord wants. So that's going to require some temperance, some self-control, not a lack of self-control. That he says that we ought to know how to possess it. You see, and when you finally learn how to possess your vessel, you are at that point now more than a conqueror. Yes, you are. But you think about all those conquerors that did conquer that I had mentioned earlier, but I bet none of them lived a penitent life if he didn't come to Christ. You see, and that's what repentance will do. You see, repentance hits the heart of who you are. That's why the Lord said, lest ye repent, you shall perish. You see, repentance involves that internal resolve to refrain from something that's against God. So the counsel and the instruction is that ye ought to know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And sanctification comes when you adhere to the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart. Almighty God, as Jesus prayed, for thy word is true. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have preached unto you. How do you get clean? Through the word. Of his own will begat he again, got begotten us again, unto the word of truth, which is able to save your soul. James 1:21. There you go. That's up. So in your patience, your possession has changed. You may have tried to possess a degree. I'm not speaking against you. I know you're a doctor. You may try to possess. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with that. There are some lofty goals that you can achieve in this life, but your greatest goal should be winning Christ. Paul said, I count all things but dung that I might win him. There it is. That should be your utmost goal.
number one uno, number one priority is to win Christ. Are you more than a conqueror? My time's up.
I hope this has been helpful in some way. I left a whole lot out. I didn't want to keep y'all here at 8 o'clock tonight. But anyhow, I've enjoyed it today. I hope you have too. I hope we've learned some things from this, because I want you to be very successful in your walk. As elders, we certainly appreciate all that you do here to help us to be successful spiritually, but more importantly, to bring God the glory. That's the bottom line. Well, if you're here tonight and you have not obeyed the gospel, we hope you will. If you've been taught those things necessary, you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins and to confess your faith that he is the Son of God, and that you're willing to be baptized, you learned that you need to be baptized, we'll take care of that right now. But if you are a member of the Lord's house, I hope and pray you are a conqueror. If you're in Christ, you are. And I hope you are more than a conqueror. Yes, now thanks be unto God, which causes us always to triumph. May God bless you richly in the hearing of his word. If you need that here, come now as we sing.